welcome C3ers and those who are not C3ers. Maybe you found us on one of the platforms, and I'm so glad that you are here today checking us out. Great time to be checking it out. Today, we are in week two of a series that we started last week that we're talking about, what would Jesus undo? And I had a different message that I was going to actually be speaking today. It was about, you know, what would Jesus undo? It was going to be about cats. Not really. But anyway, but we are changing the title from what it was before. What we're talking about today is we're talking about what Jesus wants to undo is fear and anxiety. These things that we have right now that we're struggling with because we have this virus thing and all the businesses are shutting down and there's just a lot of fear right now. And so we want to try to help each of us with this today. Today I want to take you into a passage of scripture. It's in the back half of the Bible. It's the New Testament. The first four books in the New Testament is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Four guys wrote about the same three-year period of this one Jewish carpenter. Something amazing happened that these guys saw. And they're writing this down. And Mark, in Mark's gospel means good news. Mark writes this in chapter 4, verse 35. He says this, that day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's go to the other side of the lake. Now let's hit pause for a second. So here's what he's talking about. He says, get in the boat, guys. We're going to go across this lake. Now this is actually called the Sea of Galilee. And what's interesting, some of you have been to the Holy Land and seen this, but the Sea of Galilee is usually kind of is calm waters, but right all around it is mountains. And you could be going across the Sea of Galilee. And as you're going across the Sea of Galilee, all of a sudden a storm could suddenly come up. And it would be rocking and it would be dangerous. And some people died during that time. And so Jesus says, hey guys, get in the boat. Let's go to the other side, the Sea of Galilee. And so as they did that, all of a sudden we see this. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There was also other boats with him. And then it goes on and says, a furious squall came up. And the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Now get this picture in your mind. They are scared to death. They're thinking they're going to die. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Get this picture in your mind. The 12 disciples are in there freaking out. And Jesus is sleeping. The disciples woke him, meaning Jesus, woke Jesus and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drowned? To where we could say the same thing. Jesus, God, don't you care if we get the virus? Don't you care that our businesses are shutting down and we don't have money? Where are you, God? Don't you care? And in a sense, as we stop and think about this, we realize that when things like this happen, we don't understand. These 12 disciples freaking out, literally, you know why they were freaking out? Because they thought they were going to die. They thought they were going to drown. They thought this is the end. We are freaking out, we're going to drown, and Jesus over here sleeping, doing absolutely nothing. What's interesting about this is that here these guys are afraid that they are going to die. And can I tell you, with what we've been dealing with the last few weeks and who knows how long it'll go, there's fear. There's anxiety. Some of you are just fearful right now. You're afraid that you have the virus. You're afraid that you might get the virus. You're not sure if you should be going out or not. You just have anxiety. You're just worried all the time. This is what these disciples are doing. They're in the boat with Jesus and they think that they're going to die. They think they're going to die. You know, wouldn't you think, just stop and think this for a minute. Wouldn't you think that if you were one of those 12 disciples and you were getting in this boat and you knew that sometimes the winds can come and start, but you're thinking, but Jesus is getting the boat with us. So when Jesus is with us, it should be smooth sailing. We should never have any problems, never storms. We're not going to drown. We're not, you know, everything's going to just be perfect, right? Some of you Some of you have come into a relationship with Jesus Christ at some point in the past. And that was your thought. When I come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, he will do everything for me. He's my genie in the bottle. He'll do everything I ask him to do. He will take care of everything. There will be no more problems, no more struggles, no more storms of life, no more fear, no more anxiety. And yet we look at this story, and these 12 guys are in the boat with literally Jesus, the Son of God. And they're freaking out because they literally have a storm come up. And they're afraid, and they don't know what to do. Can I just remind you of something? If you want to take notes, we have notes on the app and so forth if you want to do that. But here's something if you want to take notes. Just because you might be a Jesus follower doesn't mean you're exempt from problems. Let me say that again. Just because you are a Jesus follower, I'm a Jesus follower, that doesn't mean that we're exempt from problems. We still have struggles in this world. We still have problems. We still have issues. Can I ask you a question? What are you afraid about? Is it about this virus? Is it about businesses shutting down and maybe you're not getting paid right now and you don't know when the money's going to start back up? And you're like, how am I going to buy food? How am I going to put gas in the car? How am I going to pay for rent? How am I going to do these things? Some of you, you have some other fears. Some of you are afraid because you're like, okay, with everything shutting down, with the government saying, okay, can't go to the church or to sporting events or anything else because we got to keep this thing safe. And I get that. But now all of a sudden, because everything is closed up, you find yourself at home a lot of the time anymore with maybe your family. And maybe one of your fears that you have right now is this. Is that maybe if you're married, maybe in your marriage, you're struggling. And all of a sudden, now you're 24/7 together. And you're like, oh, this is not going to go good. This is going to get even worse. I'm afraid that we're going to be at each other's throat. I mean, we weren't so good before. And all of a sudden, now we're dealing with all this kind of stuff. Some of you are fearful about your job. You're not sure if it's when it's going to come back or if it's going to come back. I've heard different restaurants going, the longer that we're shut down, the more likely we're not going to be able to come back. I mean, these are things that people are fearful and worried about. Maybe it's something about the doctor. Maybe you're going, I don't want to hear bad news from the doctor. Whether that I've got the virus or I've got something else, maybe cancer. There's just so much fear. That's why today I truly believe this. Listen, I truly believe that what Jesus wants to undo for each and every one of us, he wants to undo our fear. He wants to undo our concerns, our anxieties. He wants to release us from these things. Even though the disciples in that boat had fear, God still did something amazing. We're going to look at that in just a little bit. But let's talk about this. What are three things that we can remember when we have fear? What are three things that we can remember when we have fear? Here's one thing that I want you to remember is this. You're in the storm. Listen, you're in the storm by God's appointment. You're in the storm by God's appointment. Now, let me just give you something in case you haven't figured this out. Because what I notice is this. In verse 35 of Mark 4, about this story, when they were going across the Sea of Galilee and the storm came up. I want you to notice the wording of this verse. That day, when evening came, who told the disciples to get in the boat? Jesus did. Jesus, the Son of God, said to the disciples, Let us go over to the other side. Interesting. Can I just remind you of something? I don't know if you've read the Bible before or if you've heard messages about this before, but here's what I want you to understand. In Scripture, in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will see over and over and over again, what we see is this. Jesus is telling what's going to happen before it happens. He predicts what's going to happen. Jesus always knows what's coming up. And so when Jesus said to these guys, hey guys, get in the boat. Let's go across. He knew. He knew that a storm was going to come up. He knew that a storm of life was going to happen. He knew that the wind and the waves was going to happen. And yet, he told the guys, his 12 disciples, go ahead, get in the boat. And can I tell you, when they got in the boat, they were not out of God's will. They were in his will. Because Jesus was the one that told them to get in the boat. Jesus was the one who told them to get in the boat, knowing what was going to happen. They were in his will. Now, sometimes we wonder, why do we have storms of life that come and cause us to fear? Well, there's three things that came to my mind really quickly this week as I was thinking about this. One of them is this. Sometimes we have storms of life that cause us fear and anxiety because of our bad decisions. Because it's from our bad decisions. Can I tell you, if you're a regular C3er, you know that in the past we've talked about this many times. We are oftentimes our own worst enemy. Bad decisions. We make poor choices. We make bad decisions. We don't think it's going to hurt or affect us, but over time it will. And we go, why did I do this? Because now I'm dealing with the consequences. Let me give you a second thing why storms of life happen and why it causes us to fear and have anxiety. One of the other reasons is it's because of Satan, because it's from Satan. Remember, we have a spiritual enemy that kills, steals, and destroys. That's what Jesus said, that we have a spiritual enemy that wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, some of you may be turning in and listening today on one of our platforms on this message, and you're like, well, that ain't me. I'm not one of them Jesus people. I don't have a spiritual enemy. Yes, you do. You see, here's what Satan does. Satan will come against Christians to try to break that relationship between them and God. But do you know what? Even if you do not know Jesus, you know what Satan does? He hates you as well. You know why? Even though you don't have a relationship with God, Satan hates you because he knows that God loves you. And if God loves you, he knows that God's trying to pursue you and woo you and have you come into a relationship with him so that you can have forgiveness and eternal life. And the enemy, Satan, wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy our marriages, our relationship with God, or he wants to kill, steal, and destroy even getting close to a relationship with God. He wants to keep you away from them. You see, we all, whether you're a follower of Jesus Christ or not, we still have the same enemy, Satan. And that's why sometimes storms of life happen. That's why sometimes we have fear and we have anxiety. But then let me give you the third thing that came to my mind. One of the other reasons why we have storms of life and causing fear and anxiety is because simply we live in a broken world. At the very beginning of the Bible, is the book called Genesis, which literally means beginning. And in the beginning, what happens is that God is creating everything. And as God is creating everything, it's amazing. When God had the world just the way he wanted, he only had one rule. He made everything, the sun, moon, the stars, everything, the world, the animals, the plants. And then he made the first people, Adam and Eve. And when God had it all just the way he wanted it to be, he only had one rule. He said, guys, Adam, Eve, come here. Do whatever you want. Have fun. Go crazy. It's going to be awesome. Just, you see that one? Don't eat the fruit from that one tree. And again, God was barely out of the driveway when all of a sudden Adam and Eve were going, let's go to that tree. And they ate from the fruit of the tree. The one thing, the only one rule. I mean, how many laws do we have in our world? We have thousands of laws on top of laws. But when God started the world, only one law, only one rule. Hey, just don't eat from the fruit of that tree. And they ran to it and they ate it. And now because of that, we live in a sinful, broken, fallen world. Well, it's just a piece of fruit. What's the big deal, Mark? It doesn't matter what the rule was. The fact that it was broken is what caused it. We live in a broken world. That's why we have sickness, disease, death. Because of these things, because of our bad decisions, because of Satan, and because we live in a broken world. In fact, Jesus himself, In John 16, Jesus himself said this. In this world, this broken world that you and I live in this world, Jesus says, you will have trouble. Whew, well, we don't like that part, do we? There's some verses in the Bible I like to just kind of scratch out because I don't like that one. In this world, you will have trouble. But I love the next part. When Jesus says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Someday, when God created in the very beginning, he created this world perfectly. We messed it up. Someday, he's going to make it all new again. We live in this in-between time where it was perfect before sin, and someday it'll be perfect again. We live in this in-between time. And he says this, and this, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I'm going to make it new again. That's what he's saying. Wow, what hope that gives us. The fear, the anxiety. All of a sudden, we're hearing from Jesus, I'm going to take care of all that. I want you to just have rest. I remember a few years ago when I went to the university to be studied to be a pastor, and there was a friend that I met there. His name was Dean. Dean was from upstate New York, and it was about 3 years before I met him, and he came to the college. And about 3 years before that, he was telling me that he rode motorcycles in upstate New York, and he was going up a hill. And what he didn't know is on the other side is a truck was coming, but they were over the line, and right at the top, the truck crashed right into Dean and his motorcycle. It almost killed him. Didn't kill him, but almost killed him. And we look at that and we're going, God, why? Why would you allow a storm of life come on that? Why would you allow the parents to have fear and worry and anxiety and concern? Why would you have that truck run into their son? Why, God? Why would you do this? God, why would you have the disciples get into this boat that you know a storm is going to come and it's going to freak them out and they're afraid they're going to die? God, why would you allow this stuff? God, why? Can I tell you honestly why I think God allowed? I don't think God caused it, but God allowed it. And I believe for Dean, and he would say that if he was here today, he would say the reason God allowed that is because I did not know God before that. But through this accident, I came to know him. You see, God is always saying, okay, look, I've got a better plan for you. And that's what he did with Dean. And sometimes we go through these storms just like the 12 disciples did. There's a purpose and there's a reason. Let me give you another one. Second thing is this. You're in the storm with God's presence. Let me say it again. You and I are in the storm with God's presence. What's interesting, go back to the disciples. The disciples were in the boat. They were freaking out. They were scared. They thought they were going to die. And I want you to look at what verse 38 of Mark 4 says. It says this. Jesus was, say it with me at home. I want to hear you. Jesus was in the stern. He was in the boat with them. What's interesting is sometimes we think, okay, hey, Jesus, you want us to get in the boat? We'll get in the boat. And you would think because Jesus knows there's going to be a storm, you know that because he knows there's a storm, he probably doesn't want to get in the boat, right? No, he was in the boat with them. He never left their side. Which made me think this. Made me think of this. I don't think God has ever called an emergency meeting. I don't think God, our Heavenly Father, I don't think he's sitting on the throne of heaven and suddenly says to one of the angels, hey, Gabriel, get over here. Hey, get the Holy Spirit, get Jesus. I don't know what to do about this situation. I need some help. I have an emergency situation right now. Can I tell you? God doesn't have emergency meetings. God has everything planned. He knows everything. Jesus knew when he told the disciples to get into the boat. He knew that there would be a storm. He knew that there'd be winds and waves. He knew that these guys are going to be afraid. And what did he do? He stepped in the boat with them. He was with them the entire time. He didn't leave them. He didn't forsake them. He was there. Can I encourage you on something? In all the stuff that we are all dealing with around here in Tri-Cities, in Washington, in the United States, and around the world, all of us are dealing with the exact same thing. Can I remind you of something that I think you probably know, but you need to be reminded of? Jesus hasn't left you. Jesus is still with you. Jesus is right next to you. He says, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. You may feel like he left. I mean, that isn't that how the disciples felt in the boat? Where's Jesus? Why is he asleep? Why isn't he doing anything? Jesus promises me, you, all of us, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And then I want to show you, there's a guy in the Old Testament, the first half of the Bible. His name is King David. And King David writes this. This is in Psalm 23. This is one of the most beautiful part of Scripture. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now let's pause for a second. We don't like death. King David was a huge figure in the Old Testament. And King David is saying, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I'm going to die someday, and it might be getting sooner every moment, I will, say this with me in your home, I will fear no evil. I will fear nothing. Why? Why, King David? Why will you not fear anything? Why? What's the secret sauce to that? Because for you, God, you are with me. I will fear no evil. I will fear nothing. Because, God, you are with me. Can I just encourage you with that today? Can I just encourage you that that's probably something we all need to hear and to be reminded of? That God is with us. He will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He is always there with us. Wow. Hebrews 13:5 says this. God says, never. Now, if you were here in the building today and you're a regular C3, or you know what I would probably say? I'd say, what does never mean? And you would answer, never. Never means never. God is saying to us, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Now, let's be honest. There are times, right, where we feel like he has left us. There are times where we feel like he's forsaken us. I'm going to guess that was probably one of the times in that boat with the 12 disciples. Jesus, yeah, he's in the boat, but he's sleeping. He ain't doing nothing. And we're trying to bail out water, and we're screaming and yelling, and we think we're about to die. Why is he not doing anything? Jesus reminds us, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Whatever you go through, I, Jesus, I, the Son of God, I, the Messiah, I, the Savior, I will go through it with you. You're not going to go through it alone. God is always, always with us. Then let me give you a third thing. You and I are sometimes in the storm for God's purpose. You are in the storm for God's purpose. God oftentimes has a purpose. Let me kind of give you a follow-up real quick. So the disciples are in the boat. They're freaking out. They think they're going to drown. They think they're going to die. Jesus isn't doing anything. He's sleeping, but he's there. He's there. But he's not really doing anything. And all of a sudden, fast forward, they get out of the boat. Everything ends up fine. They get out of the boat. They, sometime in the near distant future, they hear more teachings of Jesus. They see miracles that he's performed. And then they see him be crucified. And then after he was crucified, they saw him 3 days later rise from the dead. And all of a sudden, listen, all of a sudden they were reminded and they realized the things that Jesus had said to them before, he was actually prophesying and telling them what was going to happen, and they just couldn't figure it out. But all of a sudden, after seeing his teaching, seeing his miracles, seeing him die on the cross, seeing him rise again, and after he rose again, 40 days later, he ascended back to God the Father in heaven. And all of a sudden, history tells us, listen, history tells us that of the 12 disciples that were in that boat that were afraid to die, history tells us that 10 of those 12 disciples died a martyr's death. After Jesus died on the cross for your sins and mine, after he rose from the dead, after 40 days later, he ascended into heaven. What happens next is these disciples went to the then known world and began preaching and teaching about Jesus and who he was and what he did and how he died for everybody so that everybody can have forgiveness of their sins. And 10 of these 12 disciples who were afraid that they were going to die in this boat on the Sea of Galilee, even though Jesus was in the boat with them, all of a sudden, they're not afraid to die anymore. Because when they went to different places, 10 of these disciples had people in these then known world put a sword to them and say, recant what you are saying about this Jesus person. And they all said, these 10 different ones in different places in the country, different places in the world, said, we cannot recant because that would be a lie. We know what we saw. We know what we experienced. He died. He rose again. He ascended into heaven. If you have to kill me, then so be it. And 10 of the 12 disciples died a martyr's death. Can I just remind us of something? People will not die for a lie. People will not die for something that they know is a lie. They will die for something they know is true. And 10 of these disciples died a martyr's death. Could that have been the purpose? Were there, God's showing how they're afraid even though when he's there? And then later on, he's taking the fear of death away from them because they finally know who he really is. Do you know who he is? Do you have a relationship, not just a knowledge of, but a relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you know who he is? Do you have a relationship with him? You see, sometimes we think we do because I go to church once in a while. Christmas, Easter, birthdays, I don't know, whatever. We go once in a while. But do you know him? Have you come into a personal relationship with him? Let me come back to my friend Dean. When he was hit by that truck, I believe God's purpose, God didn't plan it, but I think God allowed it to happen so that he would realize he needs a relationship with God. He almost died, and he knew that if he would have died, he would not have gone to heaven. God used that. God had a purpose for Dean. I remember a few years ago, I was doing a funeral for a gentleman who was probably, I'm going to say, late 40s, maybe early 50s. And he had two sons that were in their 20s. They were young adults. And I remember their grief. Dad, who passed, had a relationship with Jesus. His two sons in their 20s did not. But over the time of doing the ceremony, the funeral, and meeting with them and talking with them and stuff, they came to the same realization as their dad. They came into a personal relationship with Jesus because of their dad's influence. And now his dad, their dad is gone. Amazing. You know, we hate it when somebody dies. But God can use even that for his purpose to reach these other two young adults. God can do whatever he wants. And God promises he'll always leave. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will always be with us. He will never leave us in the storm. He's in the storm with us. In James, towards the back of the Bible, there's this, it's kind of a weird passage. James 1, verses 2 through 4 says this, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, my sisters, whenever you face trials." Now pause for a second. How many of us really have joy when we have trials? Woo, happy, 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 I've got no money. Happy, 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 I've got the virus. I mean, right? It seems stupid. Consider it pure joy, though, James tells us. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. Why? Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. It develops perseverance. That is awesome. But it also does something else. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. God sometimes allows things to happen because he has a purpose and he's trying to work something through us. In fact, here, if you want to take notes, here's something for your notes. In storms, we want God to do a removing job, but he wants to do an improving job. In storms, we want God to remove the storm, right? But instead, God wants to improve something in us. God wants to grow something in us. That's what God does. God loves us so much that he doesn't leave us the way we are. He wants to keep growing us and raising us up higher and higher. So we come back to the story. They're in the boat. Storms are coming. Jesus is there sleeping. They're over there. They're all just kind of pounding on him, going, "Jesus, wake up. We're in a storm. We're going to drown. We're going to die. We're afraid. Why aren't you doing anything?" Mark 4, verse 39 says this. Jesus stood up, looked around. He says this, "Quiet. Be still." And all of a sudden, the wind and the waves stopped. It stopped. Can I tell you, if you have fear and you have anxiety, there may be a time where God says to your storm, "Quiet, be still." And your storm will go away. And there are other times where God will speak to your heart and he'll say, "Quiet, be still." And your storm didn't go away. But now your fear is gone. You're more at peace. And can I tell you that either one is a miracle? If he says to your storm or to your heart, "Be still," it's still a miracle. It's still a miracle. Did you know that God is still in the miracle working process? That's what he does. That's what he's good at. That's what he loves to do. In verse 39 and 40, after he says, "Quiet, be still," it says this, "Then the wind died down, and it was not just calm, it was completely calm." Then he said to his disciples, it's almost humorous, "Why are you guys so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Can I ask you that question too? With all the stuff that we're dealing with, do you still have fear that God's not going to come through? Do you still have fear that God's not? Could God say the same thing to you? Do you not have faith? Do you not trust me? Do you not know that I'm with you? Do you not know that I'm over the wind and the waves and the storms of life and the fear? Whew. Wow. Can I just tell you that God is speaking, I think, to me. And I'm hoping he's speaking to you through this simple message. Mark chapter 4. In fact, I would encourage you to go back maybe today and read this for yourself and just look at this. Wow. Let me give you a true story that I heard one time, and I'm going to bring it to us. There was four young guys, again, probably in their late teens, early 20s, that during summer they wanted to kind of backpack and go around the country and all of the U.S. And over time, they used up all their money. And so they're in a town, and each of them called their dads back home, asking if they could, you know, get some money from them or whatever. Three of the dads said, "Yes, we'll get you some money." One of them, when he called his dad is a pastor, and And he said, let me think about this. And then he said, I'll call you back. About half hour later, he called his son back and he says, I'm not going to help you. I'm not going to help you on this one. And the reason why is because his dad, he didn't say this to his son, but the reason why was because his dad has bailed his son out a lot of times. But he said, this time I'm not going to do it, son. And so he hung up the phone, told his other three friends what his dad said. And the other three started saying, your dad must not love you. Your dad must not care about you. He's not a good dad. And he said to his three friends, he goes, no, I know my dad loves me. I know my dad is a good dad. He has reasons for why he's not going to give me what I want right now. But I don't know the answers. But when I get home, I will ask him. Can I tell you that might be good advice for you? There are times in life where we have these problems. We have these storms of life. We have things that just we don't want to have happen. And yet they do. And we cry out to God, our Heavenly Father. And sometimes he answers, but sometimes for some reason he doesn't. Can I encourage you to keep having faith, to keep trust? Because there will come a day, listen, there will come a day where you will see your Father, your Heavenly Father, face to face. And you can ask him and you can tell him, God, why? Why? Today, as a follower of Jesus Christ, if that's what you are, you may have struggles, you may have fears, people are looking at you and going, oh, you're praying. Why isn't God answering you? Why isn't God doing anything about it? And you can simply say, I trust my Father. He loves me. He cares for me. I don't understand why he's not doing it now, but someday when I see him, I'll ask him. You see, God's not afraid of those questions. And God is a good Father. Regardless if he does or doesn't do what we want, he is always there with us in the storm. And sometimes that storm has a purpose. Bottom line, let me give you one last thing that we're going to wrap up. Bottom line is this. Faith doesn't mean you don't get afraid. Faith means you don't let fear stop you. Let me say it again. Faith doesn't mean you don't get afraid. In times like this, yeah, maybe we have fears of certain things. But here's the thing. Faith means you don't let fear stop you. You don't let fear stop you from loving God, from believing in God, from having a relationship with God. You don't let fear stop you from doing the right thing to help other people. You don't let fear stop you in your tracks with anxiety and you can't even move anymore. You're afraid to even go outside. Fear doesn't mean you're not afraid. Fear means that you don't let fear stop you. That's what Jesus wants for us during this time. Can I just remind you of something? This virus thing didn't surprise God. He knew about it. And can I also remind you of something? That he is walking through it with each and every one of us. Because he never leaves us and he never forsakes us. Let's pray. So Father, right now, Lord, as we pause today, we know that this is some troubling times. We know that there's a lot of fear, anxiety, storms of life. And Jesus, I am so thankful that when you knew what was going to happen with that storm on the Sea of Galilee and you had your disciples go in to the boat, you got in with them. And you were with them the whole time. You did not leave them. You did not forsake them. You were with them. And God, I pray for every person right now under the sound of my voice that's listening to this right now. Would they realize that you are with them as well? I pray, Lord, that you would help them with their anxiety, help them with their fear, to release that, to know that you are God. You knew this was going to happen. You're walking through it. And maybe through all of this, there's going to even be a purpose for it. So God, we trust you. We know that you haven't fallen off the throne. You are still a good, good Father. And we thank you for that. So Lord, today also, there are some that maybe are watching right now this message, and they don't know you. But God, today they're hearing about how much you absolutely love them and you're crazy about them and you want a relationship with them and you want them to have forgiveness so they can spend eternity with you. And so, Father, right now we pause. And anyone that's on their side of their screen that know that they do not have a relationship with you, God, today would you speak to their heart? Would you let them know that you love them? Let them feel right now, with all the chaos in our world, may they feel you right now, your presence in their room right now. And Father, for those that don't know you, but know that they need to know you, they pause right now and they say, "Dear Jesus, forgive me. I believe you are the Savior, the Messiah, the Son of God. I believe that you did die and rise again to pay for my sins so that I don't have to. And that now I can come into a relationship with you that will go for the rest of my life and on into eternity." So Jesus, thank you for those that are coming into this relationship with you. And we celebrate that. And we say thank you. In your amazing name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, real quick before we get out of here, a couple things. If today you just said that prayer with me, would you text the word Jesus to the number that you'll see on the screen there? And when you do that, that'll help you then to be able to get some videos. We're going to be sending you some videos, about 2 to 3 minute videos, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week. So go ahead and text the word Jesus to that number, and you'll be able to get those videos starting tomorrow. Also, I want to remind you of a couple things. I think Pastor Adam a little bit earlier talked about it too. But we're going to be having online small groups starting up. And so they're going to be starting soon. So check our website, check our app. You can sign up for online small groups. At a time where we're kind of isolated, we really need one another. And so that's something to look at. Also, there's going to be a lot of different things for children and for the youth coming up online as well. On Wednesday night, by the way, we have our youth that's doing online stream like we are. Starts at 6:30 on Wednesday nights. And then right afterwards, they're going to be doing online small groups as well. So we're going to be engaging as much as you will allow us to. And we look forward to that. And we look also forward to seeing you next Sunday on the live stream. God bless.